passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times Radio, where we're changing the world. Wait for it. One Om at a time. This week is our first Thursday of the month, and as always, our first Thursday of the month is, we're now calling it Through the Spiritual Lens. We've called it a lot of things. We've called it Thirst Quenching Thursday. We called it Neutral News. We are now calling it Through the Spiritual Lens. It basically is Matt Connerton from IPM Nation and Matt Connerton Unleashed Show, and I just kicking it for all we're worth and taking your calls. And you can be part of this conversation at 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin. You can like my page while you're there. I'm a likable guy. Matt will tell you that. I think I made this month's bribe payment, didn't I? You're going to say that, Matt?
Well, I can't confirm or deny that on the air.
Oh, okay. Sorry. and you will see that we have today's Matt Connerton. We have today's show up pinned to the top of the page. So if you want to comment on that, we can bring that on air as well. Or if you're listening to this as a replay, which means you're not listening to it at Thursday night between 6 and 7 o'clock, you're not listening to it live, but you can still go to the Facebook. Don't call the number. Do not call 202-570-7057, because you'd be calling in on somebody else's show and they might not answer you because they're not all like me, you know.
That's right.
But you can still go to facebook.com/mydrkevin. And you can find this post and you can add your comment then. You can share or ask a question or do whatever you'd like to do. Just try to keep it semi-nice. So, Matt, how are you?
Doing well. A little chilly around here, but doing okay.
Now, are you? Is it a little chilly around there because you're not paying your heating bill? Is that the story?
It's just a little chilly. These big windows are drafty. No, I'm still at WMNH. I just got off the air with Matt Connerton Unleashed, and it's a cold night in Manchester.
Well, as we used to say as a kid, cold as a witch's. Oh, that's right. I can't say that.
Oh my.
Ooh. Do you remember that phrase?
No, I don't. I'm actually trying to think of what it is that you can't say because I have no idea.
Yeah, there's an old, I think it's an old New England phrase. And actually, I probably can say it on air because this is a internet radio show, so it's not being, supervised by the FCC, who I've been able to get in trouble with on my other radio shows at various times.
Ooh.
Mm. It really. It's a problem. People don't like the truth. So anyways, so if you want to find out more about Matt, just so you know, Matt has a drive time show, Matt Connerton Unleashed, 4 to 6 Monday through Friday at 95.3 WMF. What are the call letters? I'm spacing.
WMNH.
WMNH. Yes. I wanted to put an F in it. I wanted to F your station call letters, and I don't know why.
Oh my goodness.
WMNF. No, WMNH. You can listen to it, or you can go to IPMNation.com. IPMNation.com, and you can listen to Matt's shows there. You can call in. You can participate 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, Eastern Standard Time. Or where you're at IPM Nation, you can check out Dr. Kevin and Friends TV Network, or you can find 14 years of Dr. Kevin. It's going to be 14 years coming up when we hit 2019. Did you know that?
Wow. 14 years of what exactly, though?
That I've been on the air with my radio.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Very nice. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, from that little sitting across the table from Dara and doing the show that was that started back in 2005. We started shooting radio shows. And I've pretty much been on air ever since.
Yeah.
So, what was your topic today on your show? Let's start. I've got a couple of things I want to bring up, but what's the hot topic this week? Because there's just so much fodder for a show like Matt Connerton Unleashed that gets into hot topics around politics. I mean, like, you guys must have a fire that, you know, you'd think would be in California with all of the rich stuff you get. So, tell me what's been up.
Well, you know, of course, we've had the passing of George H.W. Bush. And, you know, the Mueller probe, I feel like it feels like it's starting to come to an end, like we're getting close to some resolution on that. Obviously, with Trump's trip to the G20, looked like Michael Cohen, I'm sure, was very much on Trump's mind. And now we find out that Michael Flynn has been cooperating quite a bit with the Mueller probe as well. So I feel like things are starting to reach a crescendo, but who really knows? But, you know what I always say about it? It's like this really engrossing book that I kind of want to skip to the end and see how it ends. But, of course, we can't. But what a fascinating time it is. Trump continues to rail against the investigation, in my opinion, making himself look very guilty, you know, because it's like, what is he so – I always say, you know, I kind of got into a pretty heated discussion with a listener about it yesterday who called and was saying, you know, we don't know Trump did anything wrong. And it's like, well, no, we don't know. But my position is – you know, he certainly looks awfully guilty because he's acting like a guilty person. He behaves like someone who's cornered and who is in a state of panic. So, you know, so there's all that. There's always a lot going on. I mean, typically on my show, we try to hit many different topics. So I can't say there's been any one thing that we've been particularly focused on, but we live in an era where every day there's just, you know, I always say it's an embarrassment of riches. There's always plenty to choose from in terms of what to talk about. It's hard to pick something sometimes.
So what did you think the story really was? I mean, I saw the hyped version of the story, but you're really, you know, you're pretty good at, you know, making sure that, you know, you check things out and you don't run to any big assumptions. Why do you think that our bully in chief and first lady didn't do the Apostles' Creed? Because that just flew up as a big flurry of, hey, evangelical Christians that love this president, what's going on? Did he, you know, does he not know the words or whatever? I mean, did you see that whole hoopla?
You know, I didn't see that specifically. I mean, I know what you're referring to, but I haven't had a chance to really look at it. But I'll tell you, I know I've said this to you before on this show, that Trump, I think, comes across particularly phony whenever he is supposed to try to look like a Christian. I always go back to, there was that one campaign rally during the campaign where he's talking to the audience and he's saying, you know, he's talking about his book, The Art of the Deal, and he's like going on about how, yeah, you know, The Art of the Deal, it used to be my favorite book, but now it's my second favorite book. And you know what my first favorite book is, right? Yeah, the Bible. It's the Bible, of course. And he comes across so phony. And, you know, and the 2 Corinthians thing, which is a mistake that a lot of people could make. But but evangelicals have shown it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how phony he is. They can't see it. They're completely blind to it, you know, and like I've also said to you on the show, there's been decades of conditioning with the evangelicals where so many of them are so used to turning on their televisions on Sunday morning and seeing a con man in a very expensive suit telling them what's up, that so they're perfectly conditioned for Trump. So they don't question anything. So ultimately, it doesn't matter. I mean, you'll see evangelicals in the media occasionally questioning something or saying, why did Trump do this? Or this doesn't look very good. But I think there's probably an attitude on Trump's part generally that there's really nothing he can do that will lose the evangelical support. They love him, you know, and he's, you know, he claims to be pro-life and all that. I mean, let's be honest, that obviously plays a big role in it, too. But a lot of it is just this blind devotion. And I don't think there's much that, I mean, look, the guy, you know, he had an affair with a porn star, just one of many examples. You would think evangelicals would have a little bit of trouble with, but no, when it's Trump, nothing matters. Nothing matters.
Well, no, and it doesn't. And, you know, there was, again, you know, there's the whole flare up. I don't think, you know, and I don't think that this is going to suddenly give the blind back their eyesight or, you know, put a hearing aid in the deaf. And the evangelicals have chosen to be both blind and deaf. You know. But it was very interesting, you know, this whole controversy, and they talk about how, well, the supposed Muslim, you know, ex-president was reading it, and, you know, and everybody else was reading it, and the two of them were standing there in the video holding their set down, looking straight forward, not reading it, not participating, not doing anything, which, you know, people that are not deaf and dumb and blind, i.e. the evangelicals, who, you know, just kind of have their butt up anyways. We're not going to say where, but we all know. you know, but I think it offended some other people. It offended some of the middle of the road people.
Yeah, it's actually not the first, it's not the first example of this either, by the way. I think it was right after Trump's election. He and Melania attended a church service, and they picked up the hymnals to sing along with some song, and they just, like, very early in the song, they just kind of shrugged and put down the hymnals and weren't participating. And, you know, it's just, like I said, I think it's just an arrogance. I think he figures he's got the evangelicals no matter what, so he's not even going to bother to fake it at this point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, we'll see how confident he comes, and whether that comes back to bite him in any way or not.
Yeah.
So, and maybe it won't. I mean, we're just watching some just crazy stuff. You know, you've got the whole Representative Louie Gohmert, who the Republican from Texas, he went on a bizarre rant about George Soros that ended up with him echoing this baseless conspiracy theory. It was all very anti-Semitic, and he's on there and he's doing that, and you know, and he's, you know, smearing the, and people are just like, oh well, you know, oh well.
Well, that's not unusual for him, and he keeps getting elected and reelected. He's been there a long time, and Louie Gohmert's always been a nut, and unfortunately, there's nothing surprising about his behavior if you've followed him at all. He really is, you know, that sort of caricature of the knuckle dragging backwater conservative. I mean, that's Louie Gohmert. He's always been that way. There's nothing surprising about it, unfortunately.
So what do you think about the Senate confirming Kathy Kraniger right along party lines, which is not going to change because the party lines got a little wider in 2000, you know, starting in 2019, at least for the Senate? Do you know why she's, what, do you know anything about why they want her in the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as the head of it?
I'm not sure. I haven't followed that particularly closely. I just hope that, you know, because Republicans don't like that particular agency, and I do, and I hope it's protected. I'm always afraid that they're going to, you know, they put somebody like her in to try to destroy it from within, you know, and sort of starve the beast of what it needs and what it needs to, you know, continue to function. That's my biggest worry.
Yeah, well, she has no experience in running that kind of agency. She has no experience in those areas. She has nothing that would recommend her to be in that position besides Trump nominating her.
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah, and that's not unusual, you know, unfortunately. I mean, why was Rex Tillerson Secretary of State? Now, there's, if you dig into it, there may have been some very good reasons, you know, having to do with things that he wanted for ExxonMobil and whatnot. But I mean, I realize he left the company, but he saw his ties there, obviously, you know. I mean, why are a lot of people in these positions that they're in? Why is Jared Kushner somehow in charge of Middle East policy? You know, what qualifications does he have? So from that perspective, it's, you know, none of this is surprising. And by the way, too, you know, there might be a lot of people in Washington who are perfectly suited and qualified for these jobs that don't want them right now, you know, that don't want the taint of being associated with the Trump administration, who are actually, I mean, you know, the guy's starting to have a hard time finding lawyers, in fact. No one wants to be his lawyer at this point. I mean, not literally, but it seems like it's getting to be that way. So that might also have something to do with it. There might be more qualified people that they were interested in for that position who just literally don't want the job.
Well, I'm sure you – oh, and we're going to be right back here on the Dr. Kevin Show on Through the Spiritual Lens with Matt Connerton on the first Thursday of the month.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine. Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where Matt Connerton and I are kind of talking about what's going on in the world. We invite you to participate in this conversation. What do you think's going on in the world? You can join us at 202-570-7057. You can also go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, and leave your comment there, and we will get that comment, and we'll be more than happy to share it on air. But they seem to be crazy times. I think that the American public is probably at a all-time high of disillusional attachment to having their head stuck somewhere where it's dark. How did that sound? How did that sound, Matt?
I wouldn't put it on a t-shirt.
Okay. I thought that was a lovely necklace you were wearing, and I realized that it was actually somebody's sphincter muscle. How about that one?
That I definitely wouldn't put on. Well, you could maybe put part of it. Yeah, actually, I'd put the first part on the front of a shirt. And then the last part on the back, maybe. You'd have to split that one up.
Yeah, there you go. So anyways, so Matthew Whitaker, what do you think? Do you think that Jeff Flake is going to hold out on announcements long enough that they'll pass the resolution? Or are you thinking that... That will be, you know, the next desperate act will be to try to get him to shut down the investigation so it doesn't look like Trump's doing it. What do you think? What are the chances?
I really, and a lot of Trump critics, actually, most Trump critics I know disagree with me on this, but I still don't think that there's any chance of Trump shutting down the investigation or Matthew Whitaker shutting it down. That's the one thing that will really blow up in his face if he does it. I don't see that happening. I don't think he's going to fire Mueller. I don't think Matthew Whitaker is going to fire Mueller. I really don't. I think that would be, that would really make it the equivalent of the Saturday Night Massacre that happened under Nixon. So I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, obviously, he chose Matthew Whitaker and bypassed the rules of secession, because he didn't want Rosenstein, because I think Trump wanted to keep his options open. Let me put it that way. So I think maybe he chose Matthew Whitaker so that he could potentially, if he wanted to, have an AG who could fire Mueller or do something. But I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. I think it'll be a bridge too far even for Trump. And I've never quite, a lot of people kind of sound the alarm, oh, Trump's gonna fire Mueller, it's going to happen. But I really don't think there's any chance.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your fondest memories, if you have any, and you may not, of our recently passing Senior Bush as a president? What did you look at what were the good things he did for the country when he was president? Because nobody does all bad or all good. That's part
right.
of that whole delusional thing of everybody's got to wear a black sure. hat or a white hat, and it's all gray.
Sure, sure. You know, he did, I mean, he was a Republican who believed, like many Republicans in that time, in that era, he believed in climate change. I don't think we were using the term climate change at that time. I think we were using it as global warming. We were still calling it strictly global warming. And he believed in that, and he signed legislation to try to protect the environment. Also, too, something that I appreciate about him, not only in hindsight, but something that I appreciated about him at the time, even though I didn't vote for him, was that I couldn't have voted for him. I wasn't old enough to vote for the first time until 92. So I could have voted for him for re-election, and I didn't. I voted for Bill Clinton. But he was not someone who was, at least he never struck me as particularly conservative. He was what I would call your basic mainstream moderate Republican. And he never seemed to me to get too cozy with the evangelicals. I don't think he was comfortable with that. Unlike his son, I mean, I remember a lot of Republicans, what they appreciated about George W. Bush was that he seemed like, you know, if you were an evangelical, he seemed like one of them, whereas George H.W. Bush seemed to kind of keep the evangelicals at arm's length. I mean, he was pro-life. He was barely pro-life, you know, sort of tepidly. And I don't think he really was truly pro-life, because prior to Reagan choosing him as his running mate in 1980, Bush had been pro-choice. So he sort of squeamishly moved rightward on that, but I don't think his heart was in it. So I don't think he was really a conservative. I think he's more of a moderate Republican, and I think that's largely the way that he governed. And so that's something that I would appreciate about him. So overall, unlike his son, you know, it's funny. When W was president, I remember a lot of people, a lot of Democrats I know, started to look upon George H.W. Bush kind of wistfully, like, oh, you know, I didn't like his presidency, but looking back, you know, compared to his kid, he actually wasn't so bad. And of course, we see that devolution continue, right? Now that Trump is president, people look at W and say, oh, you know, W, he wasn't so bad. But I appreciated George H.W. Bush's centrism and moderation, we'll put it that way.
Yeah. Do you think we'll ever get back to the fact that we can elect a moderate, or do they all have to be nutcases of one kind or another?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, well, you know, Trump got elected in some ways almost. I think some people thought that Trump would be a moderate. I mean, no one really kind of knew or could have known. But, I mean, I was hopeful that maybe Trump would turn out to be a moderate. I mean, Trump had been a Democrat, as far as I know, up until 2011. And Trump didn't seem particularly pro-war. And Trump, I didn't think that he had any particular passion about some social issues like marriage equality and reproductive rights and things like that. So I thought he might be more of a moderate thinker in that way. So I think a lot of people who voted for Trump were probably expecting a moderate. Now what we got was someone who loves to throw red meat to the base and who is conservative in that way. Although he doesn't seem to be excited about invading anywhere, which is good. Who knows? I mean, it's, I don't know. It feels like, it's too hard to predict. I mean, who actually believed in their hearts that Donald Trump would ever actually win the presidency, you know? So who knows? Anything can happen.
You said that, Trump didn't, you know, Trump hasn't, you know, invaded any, you know, hasn't, doesn't look like he is all about invading anything. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I don't think he wants to start any new wars. Not that he's never rattled the saber, but I don't think he has an appetite for it.
Okay. No, I think that he leaves invasion things to porn stars and, you know, other high class invasions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So let's move on to another topic. I want to talk about something that I came across, and I want to get you may or may not have seen it. We have different news feeds, so I sometimes throw something out, and you can always throw something out. Matt, you know that. So what do you think of this whole thing, if you've heard about it, that Wall Street, that there's a big conversation that the way that Wall Street wants to deal with the Me Too era is to avoid women at all cost, i.e., If you don't hire them, you don't have to worry about it. What do you think?
I heard something about this. Obviously, that's the wrong approach, I think. I mean, for one thing, it's obviously on its face very discriminatory. You know, it's taking it's just making things worse, right? Also, too, it's a cop out. It's like, you know, it's like men saying, okay, instead of growing up and behaving like a normal human being and not harassing people, not harassing women, I'm just going to remove women from the equation so I'm not tempted. It's like, no, how about being an adult? How about having some basic impulse control and some common sense? And, you know, don't be a jerk and be able to be around women without being a jerk. You know, I mean, it's sad. It's a sad way to approach something, I think.
Well, I think that I agree. It's a sad way to approach something. And, of course, it's never going to stand up because you can't simply just say I'm not going to hire women, then I don't have to worry about it. I mean,
right.
That would be like saying, well, no, then, you know, you can't do that because that's going to go against the, you know, all sorts of laws. So you simply don't hire any men and just let women do all the jobs and then you don't have to worry about it. I mean, isn't that?
Imagine if they said, you know what, we're not going to hire any minorities. So then I don't have to worry about, you know, slipping and saying something racist. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Well, I think Wall Street should just only hire, you know, women and gay men, and then, you know, they'll all go shopping together and everyone will be happy.
There you go. Everything will be fabulous.
Yeah. And if anybody wants anybody wants to join the conversation, please feel free to do so at 202-570-7057. Or come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and you can put your comment at the bottom of tonight's post, and we'll share it on air. But I do want to know is, you know, if anybody wants to accuse me of being unpolitically correct by referring to gay men in that way, that I as a card carrying one, I get to say whatever I want and I don't have to be politically correct. Isn't that the truth?
That's the rule. That is generally the rule. Yeah.
If you're a person of color, you can say anything else about a person that's the same color. Like all the people of color are the same, right? Like. Like people of color, there's whites and there's people of color, another black and white illusion, like all people of color and all whites. I mean, all's a dish detergent. I mean, a laundry detergent. Keep it in your, you know, your laundry room. It doesn't belong in your sentences.
You know what's amazing to think about? This came up in a discussion on my show the other day. When we were kids and Crayola crayons had a crayon color called skin color. Remember that?
Yep. Oh, I bet that's gone.
Oh, of course. That went decades ago, but that was a thing at one time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, so I think that this whole the other thing is it's not just about, you know, grow up and don't act like, you know, like some high school jock or some middle school kid who's giggling because he started to have a few pubic hairs show up and his voice is changing. And so suddenly he has all the justification in the world to be a horn dog. I think that part of this is also that, you know, we look at the one side, which for a long time said that women, you know, that there's this whole thing that, you know, what is a woman without a man and a woman has to be, and that's her definition and blah, blah, blah. But on the other hand, it was no easier for men if you didn't have a loving or beautiful wife, or you didn't have the girls interested in you, there was something wrong with you. If you weren't a he-man, then you must be gay. If, you know, I mean, it was no easier for men. It was just different. Now, men held the power, and this power that men held, and they used it against women to greater degrees. But, you know, we pasteurized and homogenized men just as much as we did women. And that didn't serve either people. I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You know, I actually am starting a spiritual men's support group.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm going to be doing it in Londonderry, New Hampshire, which is kind of sort of halfway between you and me, I think. I can't close my eyes and see the map. I guess Londonderry would be a point on the triangle between Manchester and Nashua.
I would say so, yeah.
But I want to share how I describe it. And I'm starting it. It's going to be a closed group. It's six people. It's six men. And it's a closed group. It's a dozen men max, but it's only for six sessions. And then if they want to opt on, they can do that. And we'll continue to cover all sorts of different topics. But if other people want to do it, they'll have to start their own group because men are not comfortable. Most of the time, men are trained to not be comfortable being vulnerable.
Right.
And no one's ever going to convince me that men just don't have emotions because that's a load of crap.
Oh, of course.
So I'm going to share with you before we go on break. So this is the write-up I have for the group. In 2019, it's simply not easy or simple to be a man anymore. As women have pushed out of the old traditional straitjacket ideologies of who they were and who they were not supposed to be, meant to be, or had to be, it has left men holding the bag. And what a great, wonderful, and terrifying bag it is. But unpacking that bag can be most difficult. Men are no longer required to be quiet, stoic, and even unemotional, except for anger, anymore. In fact, it's not only not a requirement to be those things, but it's almost become a requirement to not be those things. To go from two-dimensional black and white caricatures of manhood to glorious multi-dimensional technicolor individuals. It's a different role men are being not only asked, but demanded to play as boss, as parent, as spouse, or significant other, with each other and in the world, and many times it can almost feel as if it is a no-win situation. What do you think?
I like that. Oh, I hear the music. That's what I think.
You're going to hear the music, and when you come back, I want to talk a little bit about some of this, because I think that this is a hot issue that's getting hotter in 2018, and will get hotter even in 2019.
The Real Conscious Connection, OM Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help, my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay. 911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show here on the first Thursday of the month and the last first Thursday of the month of 2018. And I am spending it as I spend a first Thursday of every month with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can find out more. You can find out more about Matt at IPMNation.com, or you can listen to Matt's Drive Through Time show Monday through Friday on WMNH. It is a call station, 95.3, with no F in it. Just so you know. Don't put an F there.
That's right.
Don't F it up.
Don't put an F there. That's right.
Don't put an F there. It's WMNH, 95.3, from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday. You can either tune into the station if you're local to Manchester, New Hampshire, or you can go on IPMNation.com and listen to it live and participate in the conversation. Matt and I like to kick some things going on around in the world once a month, and this is the month we kick it. So it's not easy being a man anymore. The rules are changing, and they're not even really solidified yet. What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I still think it's the best deal, right? I mean, to be a white male in America, I don't think it's too tough. I mean, the rules change and so forth, but, you know, you just kind of got to be a little bit savvy about the world around you, you know?
Well, I think that, you know, I'm going to say it this way, which is, no, it's as gigs go, it's not a bad gig, and it certainly is a better gig than some of what's going on when you look at, you know, the racist and the sexist and the judgment and stuff like that. But it is changing. And I think that it is under more rapid change in the last 12 to 18 months than it's been in the last 12 to 18 years. I think that it's getting called out more when it's unfair, when it's sexist, when it's racist. I think that you have the old guard. And as the old guard continues to die off, that you're having a younger set of people that are getting involved. This will be the most, this is going to be the Congress, the House of Representatives is going to be the most women and people of color. And we're going to have Muslims and Jews along with your just good old fashioned, nice guy, regular Christians, plus the evangelical nutcases. But the blend is more blended than ever, and it's changing. And I think that we have younger men that are more culturally sensitive, for the most part, than used to be, and more gender sensitive than it used to be. Do you agree? Disagree? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the incoming, you know, in the House anyway, you know, when you look at who we've elected, you know, it's. To borrow a phrase from the Clinton administration, it looks like America. You know, it's a mix. It's a melting pot. And I think that's great. And I do think that, you know, younger generations obviously are more sensitive to, you know, thinking about things like, you know, how we treat women, how we treat minorities, how we treat gay people, how we treat trans people, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there is more, I think you use the term cultural sensitivity, and that's a good thing.
sometimes, you know, the only thing I worry about a little bit, I just, when we get into cultural sensitivity and, you know, we get into things like political correctness and whatnot, I do worry about some of that going a little bit too far, because I think some of that gets a little bit out of control when people kind of take it to this weird extreme and they start seeing examples of racism where there really isn't, but they're misunderstanding something, or examples of sexism or whatever else. And the part where it does get challenging for men, I think, is it's really difficult to know what the rules are when if someone doesn't like you, they can move the goalposts on you in any given situation, so that you know, you almost have to walk on eggshells. But that's not anything new, though. That's, I mean, honestly, that's been going on for probably 20 years now. So I think there can be, because I think political correctness and cultural sensitivity and all that, I think those are good things. But the only, you know, like any good thing, there can be a downside when people misuse those things. And I see oftentimes these social justice warriors misusing those things a little bit to kind of take a little bit of power. And in some instances, they get a little carried away and maybe point out examples of prejudice or injustice where it's like, yeah, that's not really what's going on there. So I do worry about that a little bit. But overall, I think it's a good thing.
Well, I mean, I'm all about cultural sensitivity. I think political correctness has become a double-edged sword, and I'm not a big fan of it in its current form, which is
right.
The hyper-vigilant. It, you know, the image that I get is the image of Miss Gulch. You remember Miss Gulch?
No.
Miss Gulch. She was the mean-spirited, gossiping, basically tell everybody how and why they were wrong, whose bicycle got caught in a tornado and ended up as the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
And yeah. I think that we have people, I mean, that sit around looking to jump on what can be perceived as political incorrectness.
Right.
And it's a load of crap. I mean, there's an intentionality. And I think that one of the things is that, do I think it's okay for somebody to say something that's, you know, clearly politically incorrect when they know better, when they're choosing to do it to make it an insult? No, I don't think that's okay. But if I've got, you know, if I'm visiting somebody in a nursing home and some 80-year-old guy says something and it's just the kind of language he grew up in and did, you know, say, well, you know, when you say those words, sometimes it's going to hurt somebody's feelings. Don't jump all over them. What are you, a bigot? Sometimes I don't even know what that – sometimes we are brought up with words that until somebody points them out, we don't even know what they actually were referring to. We didn't even
right.
know. They were phrases. They were things. And, yes, they were horrible,
yeah.
and we want to eliminate them, but you can't beat up the people that have been saying them for 80 years – who in action are not really judgmental.
Right. Yeah, sometimes you do have to cut people a little bit of slack. I mean, because there is a difference between being just, there's a difference between being hateful, you know, intentionally hateful, and maybe just being a little bit ignorant. And that is not, some people will misunderstand and think that I'm excusing ignorance or rationalizing ignorance, which I'm not. But, you know, there is a difference, and I think it's fair to say that one is a little bit less repulsive than the other. You know, I'm far less repulsed by ignorance than I am by actual hate. But if I can bring up a specific example of something that was in the news recently, there was this comedian, Nimesh Patel, is his name, and he used to be a writer on SNL. This is from Reason.com. I was going to talk about this on my show, and I never got to it. But this is an example of what I'm talking about.
So he told a joke at a college, and, you know, colleges, everybody's very sensitive now. He told a joke about a college, said this. This was the joke. He said that Patel joked that being gay cannot be a choice. It's a joke about a guy who's both gay and black that he met in his neighborhood. So he made the joke that being gay cannot be a choice because, quote, no one looks in the mirror and thinks this black thing is too easy. Let me just add another thing to it. Now, the joke is clearly intended to express empathy because there's something called, what do they call it, stacked prejudice or something, where you're a minority in more than one area. So if you're both gay and black, then there's two specific areas about you where you might run into discrimination. So joke, and the way the joke is constructed, is it's not, there's no hate or prejudice behind the joke. If anything, the joke is expressing empathy for someone who might experience that stacked prejudice and therefore, you know, and you know, trying to do something funny with it. So that's a good joke. There's no bad intent there. But these snowflakes at the college went nuts and pulled him from the stage early, claiming that he had told a prejudiced joke. Because we've reached a point now where some of these people, these social justice warriors, they don't apply any critical thinking or analysis to what they judge as being offensive. They just take, if anything could possibly be even, I mean, you really got to read to find that joke offensive, in my opinion. But because you have to completely misunderstand the intent of the joke. But to these people, intention doesn't matter. Context doesn't matter. They're just ready to pounce. They're ready to pounce on anything at any time. And that's what I mean when I think this is a great example of it. Just political correctness going way too far.
Yep. Well, and I think that's a perfect example of it. And, you know, I'm going to go back to say something that I've said before, and I'm still have not got any hate emails or bomb threats or nasty comments on my line. So obviously I haven't said it often enough that the political, these political correct warriors that run around looking for pointing out this kind of political incorrectness as you're describing, need to get a life.
Yeah, just need absolutely. To get a
life. They are finding a way in which they can have power, and maybe they would have more power if they got a life. So
yeah, absolutely. Yep. Now, and they also harm their own cause, because what they also fail to realize is it becomes like the little boy who cried wolf. If you run around crying racism at every little thing, even things that clearly, with a little analysis, are not actually racist, what begins to happen is you dilute what you're trying to do to the point where no one takes you seriously. Because we have so much pushback right now against political correctness, and part of it, I think, is because, you know, the people who really try to enforce political correctness, you know, it's hard to take them seriously because they, you know, like you said, they go looking for it in every nook and cranny, even when it's clearly not actually there. So they do harm to their own cause, you know?
And I can choose, and you and I have had this conversation before, but I'm going to say it again. I can choose to take the most politically correct statement and say it away in which it is completely insulting.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that this focus on word with no concept of context, like you said, no critical thinking skills, no what is this person trying to communicate, no, none of that, it's a crime in of its own. And I think it's a greater crime oftentimes than somebody who is accidentally politically incorrect, who is trying their best. But this goes back to what I was saying about, you know, this men's spirituality support group. And I want to, you know, that there is, I think that men don't know what the rules are anymore, because I don't think that anybody knows what the rules are anymore. And I think that, you know, as always, you know, it used to be burn the witch.
Right.
And now it's burn the infidel, or burn this one, or burn that one. Well, you know what? You guys all burn my ass. Go get a life.
There you go.
Because, you know, you have to look at what is intention, what is true sensitivity, what is somebody who's really trying to care, what is somebody who's truly trying to help, and who's out there, you know, that needs to get their chain yanked because they're basically yelling fire in a theater and there's no fire.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. But they just want the attention. And we're giving them the intention. And, you know, and I'm going to cycle this right back to our bully in chief. You know, several people said if people would just stop repeating what he said, if he stopped getting the spotlight, he'd throw a tantrum and go home.
That's right. That's right.
Matthew, thank you as always. And I will be talking to
you soon.
Dr. Kevin,
always a pleasure. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.